Tyler, brother, it was good to see you up here. Thank you for leading us. Good to see you and Elizabeth, and we're praying for y'all that y'all would come back to the land of the living, where the Spirit of God dwells. Amen. Amen. But we're so proud of them. God is working in their life, and we're trusting the Lord that God's going to bring them back, and I think that's their goal as well. So we trust the Lord with all things. Happy Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all men. It is not just for fathers, that even though we dedicate and set aside that day, it is for all of us who take on that responsibility and role, that patriotical role of teaching, pouring into those who, whether it's kids or other men, and so we don't take that lightly. We celebrate that. Same for you mothers, right? There's some of us who don't have children, but you assume that responsibility, that matriarchal responsibility, and you pour into others as we are called to do. So thank you all for that, and happy Father's Day to my dad and to all you dads as well. Can we go to the Lord in prayer together? Can we do that? Would you join me in your thoughts? Let's pray together this morning. Father, we're so in awe of you. You are our portion. You're our delight. You are forevermore our cornerstone, the rock of our salvation. It is humbling to think, Lord, that you have called us, you have blessed us, or we consider, we count our blessings, and we're in awe of you. God, will you be glorified in us? We praise you. We lift high your name this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the very word of God, a very plan for our life, a source that we can look to in times of need, in times of trouble, in times of triumph. And we look and we say, thank you, Lord, because you have been with us all the way. And we have guidelines and instruction and a plan, because you have done that for your people. To God be the glory. Lord, we commit our time to you today and ask that your grace would extend, that your mercy would be shown, and that you give us a reminder in your word. We pray this in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Throughout time, there has been these, whether it be sports or battles, whatever it might be, there have been great movies that show us these great events. And some of them are real based, right? Based on a true story. And some of them are completely fiction. But when we think about those things in our life, and maybe we've even been a part of some ball teams, or some of you, a lot of you have been in the military, and so some of you have been on the battlefield, and you've been given instruction, you've been given a motivational speech that this is what we're going to do. I've been a part of a few teams over the year. You guys know I was a ball player in school, and I played football and baseball, and I've been a part of some great speeches before key games. When I was a senior in high school, we won the state championship in our division in football, and I'll never forget the speech the night before. Our coach, who's a good coach, he came to us and said, we're always thinking about tomorrow, we're always thinking about tomorrow, we're thinking about those things. Those things will come, but there's only one right now. And this is what we're going to go do. And we went out and did it, because he was a good leader. And when we think about things in life, there are movies that we can think about where there are these great motivational speeches, these great motivational things in our life, and some of them come to our mind. We think about these things. And so I will recall, I'm going to give you kind of a top three for me. These motivational plans, these speeches, these battle plans, if you will, from movies. You guys are going to love this. This is great. This is great. And some, these may be on your list, they may not, but you will recognize in them. You'll immediately recognize them right away if you've seen these movies. Do you remember the movie Independence Day? Remember that movie? where the aliens come, they're trying to take over the world, and they recruit everybody across the world, and Bill Pullman's the president, and there's this great scene where they're about to go into battle and about to fly into battle, and he says this, "We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today we celebrate our Independence Day." And it's those great speeches in life, those great speeches that we see, it kind of makes the hairs on your back of your neck stand up and you go, I know this is fiction, but man, I want to be a part of this, right? Or if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, as I am, in the trilogy of the Lord of the Rings, the last movie, the final battle, if you will, the king, Aragorn, played by Viggo Mortensen, leads whatever's left of his army to Mordor. You remember this? You've read the book, seen the movies? And they're like, we can't do this. We can't do this. And he says this. He rides out in front of them and says, "A day may come when the courage of men may fail, when we forsake our friends and break our bonds of fellowship, but it is not this day. An hour of wolves and the shattering of shields, when the age of men comes crashing down, but it is not this day. This day we fight." And you say, I'm with you. I know this is fiction, but this is so good. And it's those epic climaxes in movies that you say, man, this is good. But I think the one that tops my list, and it's probably at the top of your list if you think about it, is Mel Gibson playing William Wallace in Braveheart. The English are over there, and the Scottish say, there are too many. There are too many. We can't do this. We would be better off to run. We'd be better off to leave and live than fight and die. And Mel Gibson, William Wallace says, aye. So my Scottish, English, Australian accents all sound the same because I have a very thick southern accent. I know Scottish, like if you'll end every sentence in a question, it sounds right. So I fight and you may die. Right? Everything ends in a question. Fight and you may die. Run and you will live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom. You guys all seen it and know it, and you're like, this is so good. This is so good. Well, the Apostle Paul gives us this idea. He gives us this exclamation point, this final thought at the end of his letter to the Corinthians, to 1 Corinthians. See, he's writing this letter because there are these problems that are taking place, and you can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, that there are these problems that are taking place in the church. And he's writing to the church saying, you need to be doing this and not doing that. And this capstone or this motivational speech at the end here, he says this. And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn to 1 Corinthians 16? It'll be on the screen here, but I would encourage you to open your Bible so that you can see and know where it is. This motivational speech, this capstone, this defining moment, this battle plan for Christians. Yes, for fathers, yes, for men, but for all Christians, men and women. Because we are in a battle in life. We face an enemy that sometimes you can't see, but you know he's there. And so what Paul does is he gives us this command, this battle plan, these things to say, do these things. So let's read God's word. And let it inspire us, let it command us, let it teach us, let it train us, let it encourage us. Here we go, 1 Corinthians 16, this is where we are. Paul says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. And what we see here are these imperatives. these commands, these you should be doing these things. And you might say, I am doing these things. Continue doing these things. It is a continual plan, a continual battle. It's a continual call to action. These are action. These are things that we must be doing. Much like those movie clips, those inspirational movie quotes that I gave you, it is a call to action. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must be doing these things. We must continue to do these things. It's convicting for me as well. When I read this and think about this, I think, man, am I doing these things? Am I being proactive? Am I following along with the commands of the Word of God? Is God's Word impacting me? Am I doing these ideas, these calls to action? So that would be our key thought. That would be our key idea, our key thought. When we look at this text, when we think about this text, it's an idea of action. Not sitting, not soaking. What I tell you, teenagers, we're saved to not to sit and soak, but we're saved to what? Serve. It's a call to action. It's a call to, brothers and sisters, we must pay attention. We must wake up. We must do these things. It's a call to action. I thought about the promised land with Joshua. The people of Israel have come through the Exodus. They've come through the wilderness. The generation has died off. God has given us these promises, and Joshua is leading the charge here. And God says to Joshua, tell the people, this is what you're to do in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. He says this, only be strong and very courageous. Be strong, be courageous, be careful. It's a call to action. To do according to all the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. And here we go, this action. Do not turn from the right or the left, that you may have good success. Wherever you go, it's a call to action. In the Christian life, we are called to follow what God has called us to do. We are called to follow these commands that He's given us. He's given us this battle plan. He's given us the game plan, if you will. He's given us this idea that there is action involved in the Christian life. A call to action. Peter says the same thing for the church. Peter's writing here at the end of the New Testament here, and he says this in 1 Peter, therefore prepare your minds for what? Action. Prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's a call to action. The Christian life is an active life. It is a call to do what God has commanded. Paul writes to Ephesians. We get this great passage in Ephesians chapter 2. By grace you have been saved and all these things. But what have we been saved for? What is the purpose? Obviously, we would say to glorify God, but there is more to it, isn't there? There's this idea that we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good work, action, for good works, for action, for serving the Lord, which God prepared that we should walk in them. It's a call to action. The Christian life is not a life on the sideline. It's the idea of, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. It's a call to action. I love what Paul writes to Timothy, and he reminds them. It's a reminder to Timothy, a reminder to us that there is the idea of an action involved in the Christian life. But as for you, Paul writes, O man of God, flee these things. Action, pursuit of something. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Action. Fighting means action. Take hold of the eternal life in which you were what? Called. You've been called to action. And about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The Christian life is a call to action. One more. Let me give you one more. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says this, look carefully then how you walk. Action, right? Walking takes effort and action. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. And this has been so good for me lately. Making the best use of the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a call to action. We want to make the best use of our time. As the passage we read earlier said the idea of if we're lucky 70, maybe even some of us 80 years, we have a job to do. We only get a certain amount of time. Let's make it count. And that is my prayer for you and my prayer for me. So I believe the text today affords us this idea that we can see this idea of not only a battle plan for life, but a call to action. So let me give you five things. I love it when the text has your points in it. Like, you really don't have to be very creative. I'm not very creative. And so today the text teaches us exactly what the text means. So let me give you the five B's. I tried to come up with A's, but I'm the B guy because Terry's the A guy. So you get the B guy. He'll work. The settled option. Let me give you the five B's that I believe this text will afford to us. Number one, be alert. What's this call to action? What is this battle plan? What should we be doing? Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us who are in Christ, as Christians, what do we need to be doing? Number one, we need to be alert. We need to be on guard. We need to be watchful. We need to be vigilant. We need to be attentive. Whatever word you want to put in there, we want to pay attention. We want to wake up. We want to be alert. I don't know if, and many of you probably have. If you did, good for you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If not, this illustration, you know, has some holes in it. But have you ever been fishing? Particular fishing, like when you're a kid, like your dad takes you fishing, and you always fish with a bobber and a hook, right? You put a worm or whatever your bait is on it. And your dad helps you, and he shows you what to do. I see this right now. I've watched my dad with me, and me with my kids. I watch it with my nephews. My nephews are little, and we take them fishing. And we always say, you throw it out, you watch it. It's funny to watch my dad interact with them. We actually back away and just watch him. It's great. You guys would love it. But he'll say, oh, you missed him. You missed him. You got to watch. I don't know how many times he's done it, Katie. Say, you got to watch it. You got to watch. You got to pay attention. Because they're like playing with the trees and playing in the water. You know, they're 6 and 8 and they're little. We have to watch, don't we? If you've ever been fishing, you have to watch what's going on. Watch your rod. Watch if you're fishing with a cork or a bobber, you watch that. You pay attention. You're on alert. And in the Christian life, we have to be on alert because there is an outside force trying to get at us. If we're not watching, if we're not paying attention, we're going to miss it. And he hits his mark every time. Peter says this, be sober-minded. Be what? Watchful. Pay attention. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He is actively pursuing you. How can I trip you up? How can I make you stumble? How can I tempt you to fall into sin? This is what the enemy is after, and we must be alert. Individuals, parents, spouses, wake up. Pay attention. This has been so convicting for me. God, help us be on our guard. Be watchful. Be alert. Love what Jesus says in his teaching in Mark chapter 13. Very teaching of Christ himself. Mark records Jesus saying this. He says, be on guard. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like this. He gives us an illustration, a metaphor. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves his home and he puts his servants in charge, each with his own duty, his own work, and commands the doorkeeper to do what? Stay awake. Be alert. Be watchful. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, stay awake. Spiritually awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning. lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, and let's say it together, stay awake. Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we must stay awake. It's a call to action. We must be on alert because he prowls around like a roaring lion. There are these fiery darts of the evil one that are coming our way. Let's stay awake. I love what John writes, what Jesus says to John in Revelation. He gives us this wonderful example, same idea. Revelation chapter 3, this is what Jesus says. He says, wake up, be alert, pay attention, arise from your slumber. Wake up and strengthen what remains in you and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Oh God, please help us. Help us, Lord. Remember, then what you received and heard, keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. God, help us to be alert. Help us to follow you. Help us to be on our guard. Lord, help us to take this plan you have for us and be active in it. We are called to be alert. Secondly, the text affords us the idea of being watchful, being alert, being on guard. It affords us the idea of being firm or steadfast. Be steadfast. Stand firm. That's the idea. Stand firm in what? In the faith. On the Word of God. In Christ, in God's teaching to us. Stand firm. Be steadfast. Be alert, yes. And stand firm. Be steadfast. Paul, just a few verses before here in chapter 15, at the end of chapter 15, he says this again at the end of his letter, kind of a capstone idea of do these things because this is what you need to be doing, this battle plan, if you will. He says this, therefore, my beloved brothers, sisters, fellow Christians, be steadfast. Be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We are to be steadfast, firmly plant in the Word of God. Paul writes to the Philippians. He reminds them of this as well, to be steadfast. He says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Be steadfast. Stand on the gospel. So whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are, here we go, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Be alert. Be watchful. Stand firm. Be steadfast. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Later in that same letter, Paul says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm. Remain constant. Be steadfast in the Lord, my beloved. We need to be steadfast. We need to stand firm in the faith. It reminds me many times the idea that we do have freedom in Christ. God has set us free from sin, the penalty of sin, but this freedom is at a cost, isn't it? This freedom cost Christ his life. Paul says in Galatians, for freedom Christ has set you free. We like that part. And he says this, stand firm, be steadfast. Be steadfast. And do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Brothers and sisters in Christ, be steadfast. Stand firm. If any of you have ever been out to our farm before, one of the highlights or one of the things that catches your eye most is right beside my parents' house is we have a pond. And kind of the center focus of that pond, yeah, you see the pond, is there's this giant oak tree right beside the pond. You've been to my parents' farm before, you've seen that, you've been to their house. It catches your eye immediately. It's humongous. It's been there. It was there when my dad was a child. It's been there forever. And it's always been full and it's always been healthy. It's done all these things. You know why? because it's right beside the water. It has all the, even in this drought, right? We're in this major drought right now where all your yard sounds like potato chips when you walk across it. All your yards. It's flourishing. The leaves are green. There's no withering. Why? Because its roots are planted firmly in the soil that's always damp. This is how the Word of God is, isn't it? We must stand fast on God's Word. This is what the psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 1. He gives us this illustration of this tree that is firmly planted by the life source, the water, the nutrients it needs. That is the Word of God. The psalmist writes and says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law," the Word of God, the law of the Lord. "And on his law, on his word, on the scriptures, he meditates day and night." And here's the illustration. He's like a tree, giant oak tree right by the source. The Bible is the source for us. The person who firmly plants, who's steadfast, who's firm in their faith, plants their feet and stands on the Word of God, is like a tree that's planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. The droughts may come. The tough times come. The lightning strikes. It's planted firm because it's in the nutrients. It's in the Word. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. We prosper because we're steadfast in God's Word. Be alert. Be steadfast. Thirdly, be mature. Be mature. I know your scripture, your word says act like men, but it's a call for all of us to be mature, to be courageous, to have courage, be alert, be steadfast, be mature. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, the idea of being mature. He says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, I did childish things. But when I became a man, I put away childless things. I put away childish things." We are to be mature. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been redeemed. We've been set free from the penalty of our sin. God has called us to himself. He has drawn us out of the darkness into light. Let's be mature. Let's be steadfast. Let's be alert. Let's be men and women of God. In our study in the book of Samuel, we haven't gotten here yet, but when we get to chapter 10 next year, Terry, so the reason why I'm up to Sunday, Terry was supposed to be up to Sunday. Is it Monday? We were talking Monday. He goes, "Hey man, when you want to teach again?" I was like, "Whenever you need me." There's a few men, we were working a little bit. He goes, "You want to teach Sunday?" I'm like, "Oh man, we got to do some scrounging here." I said, "This is from the Lord. It's worked out. Tyler's in town. I'd already planned on him playing." And so I called Tyler. I was like, "Hey brother, you good for Sunday?" "Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it." I was like, "You want to lead?" He's always game. He's like, "Yeah, sure, sure." And this Sunday was a perfect storm for us, for our piano players. All three are out of town. And all my sound people are out of town. It's just like this perfect storm. So Leah, thank you, Leah. I had a crash course, give her this crash course, Cliff Note version on how to run the sound this morning. When we get this in 2 Samuel, you're going to recognize this. This is a wonderful reminder to be mature, to take courage, to stand strong. Be of good courage. 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 12. Be of good courage. "And let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to be mature. We're called to have courage. We're called to stand up and stand firm and be steadfast on the principles that God has given us. He has given us a plan. Let's stand on those. Fourthly, be alert. Be steadfast. Be mature. Be strong. Be strong. in the Lord. I would add that on the end. Be strong in the Lord. In the strength of His might, not yours. We're weak, we fail, we falter, we don't add up, right? But the Lord is always strong. And we firmly plant our feet in Him. I love this from Deuteronomy. I love what this passage just reminds us. It's one of those, like those movie quotes, it's the idea of let's do this. Let's do these things. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. What a wonderful cry. Be strong. Why? Because the Lord is with you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord is with you. He's with me. And this is a strength cry for us, a battle cry. Thank you, Lord, I'm not alone. Sometimes I feel alone. Sometimes I feel discouraged. That's called being a human being. But God is with us. Let's be strong. Let's be strong. Paul gives the Ephesians this cry as well, and it's a wonderful reminder for us as he calls this to this idea of putting on the armor of God. And he says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. The armor of God, it's putting on Christ. Be strong in Christ. Let Him be your strength. He is our fortress. He is all those things that the Scripture reminds us that He fights the battles for us. Let's be strong in the Lord. Be mature. Be steadfast. Be alert. Be strong in the Lord. Moses' song. You remember how the people, he led the people out of slavery, and they get to this river. They get to this sea. The Egyptians are pursuing. What do? We seek the Lord. We trust the Lord. And He opens the sea. They cross over on dry ground. The enemy is crushed. And in Exodus 15, Moses lifts his voice and he says this, the Lord is my strength and my song. And He has become my salvation. This is my God. And I will praise Him and my Father's God. I will exalt Him. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord parts the seas for us, right? We've got this obstacle in our way. And He parts those things for us. Be strong in the Lord. He is the very source of our strength. Paul writes to the Ephesians and says this in Ephesians 3:16, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strong, strengthened, with power through His what? His Spirit who is in you, in your inner being. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the very Spirit of God, God Himself, lives in you. Be strong. The Lord is with you. Finally, be alert, brothers and sisters. It's a call to action. Be alert. It takes action. Be steadfast. It takes action. Be strong. Be mature. All these lead up to this idea. Why do we do these things? Be loving. And all these things, do it in love. I'm going to give you an illustration here. This is what you're going to take away. You're not going to remember anything else today but this. You need to be pink sandpaper. You do your job. You're strong. You're firm. Your sandpaper. But underneath, it's that gooey center. Your pink sandpaper. This is what I want to be. I want to be firm and strong and awake and alert, but I also want to be compassionate. I want to be loving. I want to be gracious. I want to be kind. This crusty, these calloused exterior, but underneath is the warm, gooey center, right? Pink sandpaper. An active, sacrificial love. Be loving. All these things. We want to be these things. We want to be firm. Yeah, I want to be strong. I want to take action. Why do we do those things? Why do we want to be those things? So that we can exercise love. so that we can be gracious. Why? Because the Lord was that for us, wasn't He? He endured the cross and the shame. Why? Because He is crazy about you. He loved you so much that He died for you. It's a sacrificial love, isn't it? We want to be loving. Jesus says this, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have" what? "Love for one another." Brothers and sisters, we're to love one another. We're to be firm for one another, yeah. Strong, steadfast, all those things. But we're called to love one another. We're called to let love be genuine. This is what Paul writes in Romans chapter 12. He says, let love be genuine. Genuine love, self-sacrificing love, gracious, uplifting, encouraging. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast. Be steadfast. Be firm to what is good. And what is good? The Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Paul says in this same book that we're studying this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you all know that to be the love chapter in 1 Corinthians, in the love chapter of the New Testament. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, then I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I'm just making noise. That's all it is. I can do all these things. And he gives us this laundry list of you can do all these things, but without the idea of love, then it's just noise. It's just noise. We're to be loving. He wraps up that idea in verse 13. Now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Be alert. Be watchful. Be strong. Be loving. It's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? We looked at this at length a few months back when we took a break for a little while from Samuel, and we looked at the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. You guys all know it. It's a fruit of the Spirit of God that is in us as believers. It's the byproduct of what Christ has done. So brothers and sisters, be strong. Be watchful. Be steadfast. Be loving. Let me give you a handful of things here that obviously these are all applicable, right? We can take those principles and we can apply them and say, man, I need to work in these areas. And they were all convicting to me as well. I believe we praise the Lord because God, Monday night, Terry and I were texting and talking, and I said, man, I think God is leading us to this passage on Sunday, and this is all from the Lord. To Him be the glory, right? He gets the credit for all things. But as I was studying this week and as I was thinking about, you know, obviously these are applicable, these points. We could pick and choose or take them all, whatever it is, whatever applies. But if I were to wrap these up, what do these kind of personally, individually challenge me to do? How do they stir ideas in my mind? What do they do for me? And let me share them with you. This is what came to my mind. Let me give you a challenge. These practical things, maybe they encourage us with this idea that we have this call to action, this plan for life, this battle plan, if you will, because we're faced with things in life. Kind of a challenge for you. This is how I want to wrap up today. Number one, my challenge to you would be surrender. Surrender. Recognize and admit that you need God's help. You need guidance. This is what God does, doesn't He? His Word teaches us. This is what we teach here. The Word of God is like a double-edged sword. It pierces us, but it also teaches us, corrects, trains, all those things, encourages. Recognize and admit that we need God's help. Surrender to the Lord. It's convicting for me. The psalmist reminded me of this. I read Psalm 37 this week. I was like, oh, this is delicious. This is so good. Psalm 37, the psalmist writes and says, commit your way to the Lord. Surrender. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him. Surrender. Lord, you got to take this. Whatever that fill-in-the-blank thing is that you got going on in your life, this mountain that you is in front of you, this sea that you can't cross, God, you got to take this. I can't do it. I can't do it alone. Surrender. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him. He will act. He never leaves, does He? He never forsakes. He's with us to the end of the age. Surrender to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust the Lord. The second thing I thought was the idea of prayer. And while we may not see that word in our text today, the idea of prayer, the Christian life should be a life of prayer. Surrender means, God, I offer this to you. And so I would encourage you, I would challenge you to pray often. And some of you are wondering, we appreciate you prayer warriors. You can pray for hours. That is a wonderful gift. I am not gifted that way. I don't know if it's my ADD. I don't know what it is. But I pray often. But for those of you who just pour over the Scriptures and pour over prayer, we, pastors, thank you. We need you prayer warriors in our life. Thank you. And a shameless plug for prayer meeting next Sunday morning just reminds you of that. Pray often. Pray for your spouse or your future spouse. I encourage our teenagers. I encourage my kids. I know you're still in my house. Are you praying for your spouse? I'm not married yet. So? You want to be, don't you? Pray for that person. Parents, we pray for our future in-laws, right? We are son-in-law, daughter-in-law, whatever it is. I'm not excited about that. Maybe for one I am. My daughters, maybe not. Pray for your children, dads, men, moms. Many of us in here have children that don't know the Lord. That's key, right? Top of the list is salvation. Family members, whatever it might be, that don't know the Lord. I have a brother who doesn't know the Lord. Pray for him every week. Pray for your children. Pray for yourself. Because if you're honest, you're the most needy person you know. I am. I'm the most needy person I know. Cast your cares, cast your anxieties, pray to the Lord. Why? Because He cares for you. He is the loving, gracious Father. And you might say, man, I had a poor example as an earthly father, but you have a wonderful example as a heavenly Father. Cast your cares on the Lord. He cares for you. Surrender to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Thirdly, my teenage boys in here, I say this to them all the time. Be disciplined. It's a characteristic. It's a trait. It's something you have to work at. Be disciplined. Be disciplined in reading the Word. Be disciplined in fighting sin. Be disciplined in pursuing righteousness. I give them this illustration many times. I will remind you again. We as human beings are awake 16 hours a day, approximately. Some of you sleep a little less. Like me this week, I was awake like 20 hours a day. But we're awake the majority of a 24-hour day, aren't we? If we're not constantly immersing, constantly being disciplined to stay within the realms of righteousness and what God has called us, we will struggle and we will fail. Be disciplined. Focus on the things of God, His Word, in prayer, be around other believers, immerse yourself in the things of God. Be disciplined. I'm an advocate of getting up early, intentionally studying God's Word, reading, thinking, meditating, praying, drinking coffee. God's elixir for mornings. Caffeine is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Be disciplined. The writer of Hebrews tells us this. He says, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us be disciplined. Lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely, being disciplined to run this race with endurance that is set before us. Why? Because we look to Jesus. We look to Jesus, the founder. He's the why. He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him did these things for me and for you. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And where is He? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Be disciplined, brothers and sisters. It's a cry for me as well. It's a wake-up call. It's a call to action. We must be doing these things. Lastly, my last challenge. Surrender, pray, be disciplined. Again, pink sandpaper here. Love. Love. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, everything we can muster. Love Him. Love. Husbands, love your spouse unconditionally. Be patient with them. Like Christ loved the church, we are to love our spouse. Tell them audibly you love them. Don't be like my grandparents. I think I've given you this illustration before. They were the greatest generation, right? They endured a lot. They saw World War, and it was tough times. My grandfather was of the assumption that I told you I loved you once. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. Wives, that's not what you want to hear, is it? Often, right? Daily. Let your spouse know that you're crazy about them and they're the best thing in your life and that you love them unconditionally. Now, sometimes you want to pinch their head off. But you love them. Tell them. Tell them you love them. Love your children, dads. Pray with them. Love on them. Tell your daughters they're the most beautiful thing that they've ever seen. Love them. And love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul says this in Colossians 3. He says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Pink sandpaper. Kindness. Humility. Meekness and patience. Bearing with one another. And if you have a complaint against one another, forgiving each other. Why? Because the Lord's forgiven you. So you must forgive. And above all these things, put on what? Love, which binds everything together in harmony. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a call to action. We have a battle plan for the thing called life. Paul has, the Word of God has given us these instructions. Let's continue in those. And maybe today is a day where you say, I've not done this, but I want to start. There'll be tomorrows, unless the Lord comes back. There's always tomorrow, but there's only one today. So today, let's be active. Let's be watchful. Let's be alert. Let's be strong. Let's do all those things in love. Can we do that? Let's pray together this morning. Father God, thank you so much. God, you're so good to us. We are in debt to you. Father, I pray that this morning that the Word of God has taught us, that the Word of God has instructed us, that it has given us the guidelines, it's given us the, Lord, the battle plan that we need. Lord, I pray that the Word of God is, Lord, that we would plant our feet on it. Lord, like the psalmist writes, that we would firmly be like this tree planted by the water, Lord, that the Word of God would go before us. God, I pray that we would be strong and alert and steadfast, mature in the Lord. God, that we would love one another, that more than anything, God, that we would love you. God, you're holy. You're an awesome God. And we want to praise you with every breath that we can muster. God, will you be glorified today? Will you be lifted high today? Will you be worshiped today? Because you're worthy forever. In Christ's name, amen.